Yes, 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 it is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. Yales. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and I'm also the chief tea taster. So let's taste some tea. Oh, it's delicious. Oh, it's so good. With notes of bergamot and sugar. Well, so here I am staring at the Weather Channel waiting for... Okay, here we go. I was going to say, waiting for the cat to show up. Who's a baby? Hi! Yes, you're a fluffy-faced baby. As she does her head-butting trick into my shoulder. Okay. Do you want to get into some kitty business? Do you want to... Yes, okay. Yeah, the cat's moving around into... the place where she knows to stand while I get ready. So, let's prepare the blanket. We got to have the blanket to protect my legs from super sharp kitty claws. Yeah, I'm talking about you, fluffy face. All right, so there's the cat. The cat has gotten on my lap. Hi, hi, hello, hi, who's a baby? Hi, yeah, oh my God. I missed you. Haven't seen you in, holy crap, almost 6 hours. Because we were sleeping. Yes, oh goodness. Alright, so I'm sitting here watching the Weather Channel. And they're talking about hurricanes or something. Or musical modes. I mean, what? That is that the new thing? You know, it, back in the olden days... hurricanes just were named after, well, women's names. They just had...
This is the end of the line for me.
It's 3:59 a.m.
That is, of course, local time. It's 1930 UTC. Hello. And my name is Tobe. You're listening to the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. Right here on Anon Radio. I guess the first thing on the agenda is to wish everybody a Happy New Year, at least those who observe a year that begins on January 1st. I guess that's most white people and everybody this side of the Greenwich Meridian, I suppose. And then some. Yes, it's White People New Year. So, Happy New Year. All right. What else do we have on the agenda today? Where did I put it? Oh, yes. Here it is right here. The first thing on today's agenda is a subject that I sort of got into a little bit yesterday. I almost started talking about it, but ran out of time. And so today we're going to talk about my very first box. Now, when I say box, I do in fact mean an electronic circuit. When you hear me or some other people use the word box in this way, they do mean these little electronic circuits, and if you have the wherewithal, you can put them in a little project box, and hence the name, boxes. I like to call myself a boxer. I am not a pugilist. I'm not a person who fights. I don't do boxing that is the kind of fighting. I do the boxing that is the kind of putting electronic circuits into boxes. Now, you might be wondering, what do you do with these circuits once they're placed in these boxes? Well, these boxes then can be hooked up to the telephone system and can do all kinds of fun things. That's right, I'm talking about freak boxes or color boxes. Sometimes you'll hear these types of devices called color boxes, and that's because when people make these boxes, they tend to name them after colors, and this started with the blue box. If you know anything about phone freaking history, you know what a blue box is, and you know that Steve Wozniak used to make them, and blah blah blah. Well, there's a lot of these types of color boxes. There are the aforementioned blue box, there is a red box, there's a beige box, there is a coffee box, there is a chrome box, there is a pink box, and all of these boxes do slightly different things for you. So today, we are going to talk about the first box that I ever built at the age of 11. I was only 11 years old. And this particular box, it does not have a color name, strangely enough, but I still refer to it as a box. And the funnier thing is, it's not even in a box. So, why don't I give you a link to the photograph right now so you can take a look at this thing while I speak of it. If you're in the comm room of SDF, you'll be seeing a link pop up, and that link is to the photo. If you are not in any comm room, or if you're not hooked up to SDF right now, but you're still listening, you can see this photograph by going to my gallery, my photo gallery at SDF. Just go to sdf.org, click on gallery, and type in my name or whatever. I don't know how you'll figure it out. I put the photo in my miscellaneous folder. It's the last thing that I've uploaded. You'll find it. Okay, so are we all looking at the box now? Great. Alrighty, if you're looking at the box right now, you're probably laughing because it does have a very, very amateurish or lower appearance. But remember, I was 11 years old. This is the first circuit board I ever made. And as we look at it, you'll notice that it's about the size of a credit card, and it doesn't have many components, just a switch, a variable resistor, a couple static resistors, a 741 op amp, that's the black chip, and a 2907 transistor, and an orange LED. Yes, that's an orange LED before they even existed, and basically the way that LED came into existence is these were factory mistakes that ended up working anyway, so they ended up getting sold very cheaply in bulk, which is why I had them as a child. This is all very cheap stuff. You can tell by looking at the 9-volt battery snap. It's the cheapest kind you can get, not the heavy-duty reinforced kind that I use today. But back in the day, those type of battery snaps were 5 for 99 cents as opposed to 5 for $2.99. So as a child, you can tell which ones I bought. The cheap ones! I still have a couple of those LEDs to this day. Okay, another very peculiar feature, you probably will notice that it is completely hand-drawn. Those traces are hand-drawn. And you can tell. It should be obvious to anyone. And the funny part about this is, and if you know anything about electronics, you might be remarking upon this at this time, but when I first made this, I copied the circuit out of a magazine or a book or something. And I just had the schematic. I didn't have a picture of traces to draw, so I had to draw the circuit myself, and then I copied it onto this board, onto the printed circuit board, and it wasn't until after I started to put the parts on it that I realized that I did not draw it backwards. Normally, for through-hole type of electronics, the traces are on the back, and the components, the resistors and the transistors and stuff, are on the front. But since I didn't draw the mirror image of the circuit, and I didn't realize this until after I etched it, I had to surface mount the components. So instead of the soldering being on the underside where the traces should be, everything's on top. The traces, the components, and the soldering. So you can see the solder joints and everything. And you can see where some traces lifted, and I had to replace the trace with like component legs. Specifically from the LED to the transistor, you can see that. If you have ever built anything out of electronics, you should be laughing your butt off at this point. Because this is very funny. But then again, remember, I was a child, an 11-year-old child. How many 11-year-olds do you know who are making their own printed circuits? Let's see, what other awesome amateur features does this have? Oh yes, you'll notice that my name is right there written in copper. It says Tobe Electronics. after I cut the board and drew the circuit on, I realized, geez, we sure are going to etch away a lot of excess copper. I might as well just draw some random stuff on here. So I wrote my name and made the little asterisk, wrote electronics on it, and down underneath the transistor, the LED and the resistors, you can see where I wrote bug detector, and I drew a picture of a bug, and then that thing underneath it, I think is supposed to be a spider dangling from a spider web, or maybe it's just a shooting star, who the hell knows. I did this so many decades ago. Oh, it just entertains the hell out of me. Also, you'll notice that there are two wires that are coming off the bottom somewhere. There's a red wire and a green wire. The red wire has an alligator clip hooked to it. And the green wire used to have an alligator clip hooked to it. But that wire is single strand wire. Yes, single strand, because as a child, I didn't have money to go out and buy all the wire I wanted to buy. And I really wanted to use both red and green wire for reasons, for hooking up to the phone system. And so the only red and green wire that I could really find was single strand stuff. And so I had soldered alligator clips to both wires, but single strand wire, it doesn't flex very well, and it kept flexing at the joint to the alligator clip, and the alligator clip eventually broke off. And that's why there's no clip on the green wire today. That would be easy to fix. I've got plenty of alligator clips today. We can just solder a new one on. A couple of other funny little aspects to note. The board isn't cut square. You can look at the top edge there and you can see it's a little wonky. So, you know, a little bit more skill with a saw required there, and I cut that with a hand saw. I didn't grow up in a power tool house. I grew up in a hand tool house. And then in the upper left corner, you can see some white scratches that are sort of rotary. That's where I used a C-clamp to clamp the circuit board down when I went to drill the holes for the components. And of course, I did not have the right size drill bit, so I used the smallest drill bit my dad had and drilled some pretty big gaping holes. You can see a couple of the holes by the op amp. Pin 5 and pin 8 of the op amp aren't used, and you can see the hole very well. And these giant gaping holes. You can't see them in other places because I filled the holes up with solder. That's pretty good work for an 11-year-old. So, what does this circuit do? You're probably asking yourself, or asking me through the radio. I can't hear you, but I imagine that's what you're probably asking. Well, we're going to get into that in just a second. But essentially, you've seen that I've written bug detector on this circuit. And this can be used to detect bugs. You can hook this up to your phone line and turn it on, and if that little orange LED comes on, that means there's something on your line. And so, you can see how that can be pretty handy if you think somebody's bugging you. If you don't think that somebody's bugging you, this thing has other uses, other divergent uses that we will discuss in the second half of today's program. In the meantime, why don't you listen to this? Thank you. Yes, I am pretty fun. But who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe, and I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee right here on Anon Radio. And today we're discussing some of my dubious goals as a child. And one of the devices I used to use to attain my dubious goals. I'll put the link up again here in case you missed it. This link is to a photograph of a device that I built. It is an electronic circuit. And if you missed the first half of the discussion of this circuit, you can listen to it in the archive, because right now we're going to jump right in and talk about what this device actually does. What kind of box is this? Well, I never came up with a name with it, and I never put it in a box, so I never really came up with a name, but I just generally called it the bug box or the bug detector, even though I very rarely used it to try to detect bugs or other taps on a phone line. Because that is what it is nominally for. Basically, you clip the red and the green wires to your red and green terminals of your telephone line. And if that orange LED lights up, then you know that there's a tap on the line. Or...